Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today, Pastor Kyle explains the parable of the lost sheep and the difficulties such a creature could face. And, just for an extra bonus, he also touches on the role of a cootie. Stay tuned.
Now, I'd like to invite any of our children to come down for a children's moment. So we'll call it a child's moment instead of a children's moment. Hi, Mason, how are you?
Hey.
I'll take that as good, right? You're doing okay? All right, I'm glad to have you back here. It's been a while since I saw you. All right, got a question for you. May have more than one. How many books are in the Old Testament?
28?
Close. 39. So... And today's passage that we're going to talk about comes from the Gospel of Luke. Which testament does the Gospel of Luke come from? Old or new?
New.
Because it says...
Gospel.
There you go. You remember. All right. Now, let me ask you another question. Which animal is mentioned the most in the Bible?
Like sheep?
Yeah, exactly right. Sheep are mentioned like over 500 times in the Bible. That's a lot, isn't it? I mean, that must have been an important thing. So, you know, sheep are kind of special in the Bible here. How do you think a sheep stays safe from, like, when a wolf comes around?
Speed?
A speed, yeah, they can run away. That's one of the ways that they could do it. They could run away, or sometimes they just get all huddled together with a bunch of other sheep. You know, they kind of herd together like that. You know, sometimes sheep aren't very smart. You know, they can act kind of foolish, unfortunately. You know, but they're followers. But sometimes they follow the wrong people or the wrong sheep. You know, even if one were to walk off a cliff, other sheep might walk off the cliff too. That's kind of goofy, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes, you know what, sheep even wander away from the herd. And the sheep need a shepherd, though, to keep them safe. You know, what does a shepherd do for the sheep, you think?
Keep them safe.
Keeps them safe, yeah, keeps them safe from predators like wolves that can't come there. A shepherd can help them to make good choices instead of bad choices. It could help them to not follow a sheep off the cliff, too.
Yeah,
so that's kind of an important thing. Probably no cliffs probably near us. If there's a fence, you know, there's probably no cliffs near there too, so that's good. But back then, they didn't have a lot of fences, so sometimes they would roam just about everywhere unless the shepherd was there. You know, Jesus said that he was the great shepherd because he does all of those kinds of things for us. You know, he keeps us safe. And by going to church, we can learn how to not make bad choices. Yeah, right, exactly. And how not to follow others that might be doing bad choices. You know, like sometimes we follow the wrong people or hang out with the wrong people, they might get us into trouble. Mm-hmm. And so, like going to church, we kind of learn a little about that. When you come here and you meet with other people and you listen to a message from the scriptures, that really helps with that. Plus, if we were to wander away, a shepherd could help bring us back, right? A shepherd could come help us, and we can trust the shepherd. Let me ask you, do you have any questions about God or the Bible or church? No? Okay. Well, good. You know, it's great to know, because I know you know a lot of things. So, you know, one of these days, maybe you'll teach me one of these times. Does that sound good? All right. Sounds great. Will you pray with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Dear God,
help us to make good choices.
And help us when we start to go the wrong way. Thank you for being our great shepherd.
Thank you for being our great shepherd.
Amen. All right. You want to get a bag?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. It's kind of heavy. You got it? All right. You know, sheep were the most numerous domestic animal in ancient Israel. And as I mentioned just a little bit here with Mason, they are mentioned in the scriptures over 500 times. Abraham and Lot were shepherds. Abel, all the way back, Abel was a shepherd. And Jacob was a famous shepherd and became wealthy by managing his father-in-law's flocks, you know, his sheep there that before he returned to his homeland. Of course, David. Remember, David was a famous shepherd, and he learned some valuable skills with a sling whenever predators would come around, and skills that he would later use when he had to face Goliath. So today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. It's part of our gospel challenge readings, if you're with us. This is one of the passages we read just this last week. And I'm going to continue to do that. I pick a sermon out of the readings for the seven chapters that we read during that time. So in Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 1, we read that, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Well, let me ask you this. Who is the lost sheep? Well, let's explore this and discern what Jesus meant when he spoke about the lost sheep. You know, sheep figure prominently in Jesus' parables. If you think Psalm 23, which we saw a portion of today, talks about the good shepherd. And Jesus affirmed himself as that role in the book of John. Deuteronomy contains rules on what to do if somebody finds, you know, sheep that's been lost and to bring it back to the person. And the people of Israel are often characterized as sheep in Ezekiel. You know, domesticated sheep are completely dependent on their shepherd to find them food and water and to guard them. When Israel was characterized as sheep, it generally meant that they needed to be cared for similarly. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, maybe you remember this, he had previously prophesied in Matthew 26. He said that, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Sure enough, upon his arrest, his followers fled. You know, sheep graze on grass alone. This is very helpful because in times of low rainfall, they can still be sustained on most pasture lands. As long as they have sufficient pasture land and water, they're good to go if they can drink it. Shepherds then tended to be nomadic, meaning they might have to move around to different water sources if one kind of dried up. But that wasn't terribly difficult. And you know, the sheep are less tolerant for temperature variations. They don't like things that move around a whole lot in the temperature wise. And in the times here, they were so domesticated that the children could tend to the flock while the parents went about other duties. They were that domesticated and that tame. And you think about sheep had multiple uses in an agrarian community, economy. They provided milk for sustenance and then butter and other dairy products that would go along with that. Their wool was very useful for making clothes and for shelters. So that was good. They also provided meat. Their horns could hold liquids like oil. It could be used as a musical instrument. Or they could, you know, they could also sometimes be used for currency. You know, it's written in old Babylon that 30 sheep could be used to purchase a cow, for example. And at the time of the Exodus, way back in Exodus 10, Pharaoh was reluctant to allow the sheep to go with the Israelites when Moses wanted them to let everybody go out into the wilderness and worship the Lord. Pharaoh said, called to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones can go with you." Sheep were quite valuable during this time. But sheep are very vulnerable animals. They're easy targets for many predators, wolves, coyotes, foxes. They're very gentle, so that makes them very prone to these types of hunters. They have no sharp teeth, no claws. As Mason pointed out, that their best defense in many cases is just to run away. They've got they got good eyesight. They've got excellent hearing. They've got a great sense of smell. So if they can't run away, they can herd up together into a group, which makes it helpful. Now, I mentioned before that some have rams have horns. But like unlike other male animals, the rams only use the horns to defend themselves, like self-defense. They don't help any others that might be under attack. It's only about me, right? So that's not very helpful for the whole flock. So domesticated sheep are particularly dependent on a shepherd, or dogs often used today, to help defend them from other animals. A sheep that is apart from the herd, alone, is in a very precarious situation. They have little defense if a predator threatens. And sheep become accustomed to their shepherd. They know their master's voice. Even when there are multiple flocks of sheep that are maybe penned up, you know, like we have three different groups of sheep from three different shepherds all put into one pen, the sheep of the one shepherd, when he calls them out, all know that's my guy. And they will flock to him. The others stay put. And Jesus once said, "My sheep know my voice." I'm going to show you a video. And in this video, you're going to see four people trying to summon the sheep out on the pasture. There's three strangers and then the shepherd.
One more time.
I love this.
Look at them, look at them.
They're coming. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, my sheep know my voice. In today's passage, Jesus is likening sheep to people, much like Ezekiel's prophecies. And if you recall from the passage, he spoke the parable in response to his critics. In verses 1 and 2, they were complaining that if Jesus was a prophet, he would know that he was dining with tax collectors. And those were considered traitors to the Jews. You know, and he was also dining with sinners. This is something a prophet of God would never do in their eyes. These are people to be shunned. These were the deplorables. Pharisees, when they saw a sinner, would walk, when they're passing, they'd walk far away from them so they wouldn't get any of the air of the sinner on them. Or as what Miss Laura referred to earlier as cooties from the bad guy, from the sinner. They didn't want to have anything associate with them with that. But the deplorables had been told all of their lives of how awful they were, and were told that by the religious elite. They were told how much they would never measure up, how God hated them. They felt despondent. They felt like it was hopeless. The religious establishment of Jesus' day had just thoroughly crushed their spirits with feelings of doom. And then Jesus came along. Here was a man who taught with authority. He knew much more than the religious leaders and their teachers, and he cared about them. He taught them that they were important, that God cared about them. Do you think that the scribes and Pharisees hearing this parable thought the lost sheep were the black sheep? The ones who were outcast, the sinners, or worse, the tax collectors? I think there's good reason to understand the passage this way. Now, not all Pharisees were against Jesus. There were some, you know, like Nicodemus, who was secretly becoming one of Jesus' followers. The same is true for the scribes and the Sadducees, but we hear only about the ones who are actively opposing Jesus, the ones who felt threatened by his miracles and his teachings. The hypocritical Pharisees were the ones who felt threatened. They were teaching one way and living another. They had good reason to feel threatened. It seemed like Jesus was mostly ignoring the righteousness of those in the religious establishment who were truly seeking God. It makes sense that the 99 sheep that Jesus referred to in this parable had to be about them. I mean, they were already set with God. But there are many who aren't. The prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners who disregarded the teachings of the synagogue and in the Torah. It seemed like there was something good in this parable for everyone. The righteous are all set in their herd of 99. And as for those who are lost, well, God is actively seeking them and celebrating when they get returned to the fold. Seems like a happy story. But I think Jesus is telling us there might be another message in this parable. I think he was sending a message to us as his church in this situation. So I'm going to give an alternative thought on what he said here. Notice in the scripture it says these words. A person has 100 sheep and has lost one of them. It wasn't like the shepherd had 99 and was out there looking for one more to round it up to an even 100. No, the shepherd had 99 and one has wandered away, is missing. So the message may not necessarily be about finding the unsaved. It may be about keeping the flock of sheep together. The shepherd started with 100, but one has drifted away. There were 100 in the church. One of its people has wandered away. They've stopped coming to any church. The shepherd, that is, the church, is obligated to go out and look for this lost sheep. It faces immense dangers. Think about it. No one is able to keep it safe from the dangers of the world, the schemes of the evil one. This sheep is in mortal danger and must be returned to the fold for its own protection. The church is like the flock. We have a great shepherd, Jesus, who guides us and protects us. We come together at least weekly. We know and recognize our master's voice, as we saw in the video. We depend on the shepherd. Alone and away from the herd, we are easy prey. We need him to defend us against predators, spiritual attacks that would cause us to leave the family of God. I mean, to a predator, the worst thing that a predator could see is if they see a sheep are massed together and standing behind the shepherd. We here are safe. The great shepherd stands between us and spiritual predators. But what about those who have wandered away from the flock? As soon as the wolves and coyotes notice the lone sheep, they're going to hunt it. Those lone sheep are in spiritual danger. Are there those who are at Bethel who have wandered away from the church? I'm speaking today of those who are unchurched, because, you know, a sheep could go from one flock and go into another flock. I'm talking about ones who are no longer, they've wandered away from the church. They're unchurched, not settled into another church home. A sheep, like a person, is not meant to exist alone. They need to be with other sheep. They need fellowship. They need to surround themselves with others who support them and care for them. This is why Bethel exists today. It is to provide protection to the flock. The church needs to do more than tend the flock. We must be very intentional about it. We must intend to take care of each other. In other words, we need to be intending the sheep. Think about those who are part of this flock and have gone away. They left the 99, and God wants us to actively seek those people. We are to go and find them. Now, some of those may have left over a dispute or feud in the church. As a church, we need to help people get beyond those. I mean, when we are called to account by Jesus, what will he see in us? Did we forgive our brother or sister? Or, you know, if we did something wrong, you know, did we repent and seek forgiveness with whom we wronged? If someone has left Bethel for something we have done, we need to do our best to make it right. Their very soul could be on the line here. And Jesus wants us, wants Bethel to save them. What if they were to die before we could bring them back into the church? We must act now. Is there someone God is bringing to your mind? Is there someone who was once an active part of Bethel who has wandered away? Is there someone whom we could visit, call, or send a text to try to rebuild a strained relationship? Jesus told us that the shepherd, the church, is to go find the one and bring them back into the fold. There will be great joy in heaven when we do. We all want Bethel to grow, but we must be good stewards with what God has given us. I mean, if we don't take care of the flock that God has given us, why would he bring any more to us? We must be intentional. We must be intending the flock. And there are ways that we can help make that happen. As Miss Elaine mentioned earlier, there are several people who have gone and learned more about the care ministry. And we're looking to see about setting that up here at Bethel as well. And it's suited just for this purpose and for many more purposes, but it will address this issue very well for those at keeping the flock together. Maybe we won't necessarily reach out to the ones that are already gone. That's on us now to reach those who have wandered away. But it is a very intentional caring of the flock that is the church. It helps people feel loved. And it lets them know that they belong. It helps them when there are troubles and allows people the opportunity to minister to others. In 2 weeks, we're going to have that meeting on that Thursday the 13th at 6 p.m. to discuss the care ministry. We'll meet and learn more about it and see if there's, you know, who might be interested in being part of that. And if that's something that sounds interesting to you, I hope you'll join us. It's going to be good. In the meantime, if God has reminded you of someone in my message today, who is the lost sheep? Somebody who's alone in a world of spiritual predators? I'm telling you that God is asking you to do what you can to bring them back into safety. You know, meet with them, talk to them, invite them to come back. Let heaven rejoice when they return. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you are the great shepherd. You protect us, you care for us, and you tend us. Let us follow your example to tend the sheep of Bethel Church. Holy Spirit, instill in us how important this is to you. Help us to be intentional in restoring those sheep who have wandered away. And bring to our mind those who you want returned to your fold. With the help of our Savior and Shepherd Jesus, we can do all things. Amen.
Okay, so my question to you today is, can cooties be caught from a sinner? Just for fun, the question is, well, let's all hope not. I have another more serious question, though. Do we recognize our shepherd's voice as he calls to us? When we wander away from the flock, can we hear our shepherd call us back? Think about that this week and stay tuned.